up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday. Monday. Y'all know the day, June the, 20th, 2016. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have a wonderful show for you on today. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the good pastor, Devon Winder. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How's it going?
That's good. I'm good, man. Everything is good. It's a little hot, a little warm.
It's a little warm.
But we good. Thank God, in the words of Michael Henderson, thank God for the air of salvation. That's what he said when he got here on Wednesday. Air of salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thank God for the air condition in the studio with the nice covered up dough. We're getting all the goodness of the air. Anyway, man, we have a wonderful show for you today. Good show. How to tell if you're actually producing disciples. How to tell if you're actually producing disciples. This should be good. But let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already on the phone lines, you can just push one and be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. And you could be a part of the show. If you are on social media, you can catch us on social media, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. If you're on Twitter, you can find us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO radio. Again, that's tweet the show at TTLO radio. If you want to watch the show, Ustream is up and running. You can catch us right there. Go to Ustream.tv, do a search for the channel, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you can see us right here. That's me over here. That's my brother over there with the camouflage. Just came back from Vietnam. He just got back in from the
soldier
from the Afghanistan and all over there.
Yes, sir.
But that's us. You can see us right there. Ustream.tv, do a search for the channel, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. And if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. We'd love to read your email, your tweet, or your Facebook comment on the air. And last but not least, you want to download the podcast. Just please go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. That's iTunes. Go to iTunes, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. My brother, what's going on, Doc?
Oh, man, nothing much. Nothing much.
And how are things this weekend? How was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was great, man. Happy belated.
I know,
Father's
right?
Day.
Right back at you.
Good, man. It was good.
Did you get a chance to spend some time with your kids?
My son ditched me, man. See, I got the little one.
Okay.
He's here for the summer. He came early or whatever.
The baby.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Big five. He's not here yet.
Oldest one didn't.
Yeah.
He
don't like discipline, so
oh.
We're working on that one.
Oh, no, I won't come over there.
He's a big 11, so.
Oh, no, I ain't coming over there for that. You play too much, Dad. You play too much.
So, yeah.
So
I got
people.
Now I believe in the timeouts.
Oh.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I do remember having that discussion.
Yeah.
You do. He is all in on the timeout.
Man, that's you may have to get to strike 10 to actually get a whooping with a belt.
From
you.
Yeah. Right.
Granny will probably lay hands first.
Oh, see, Mama come from the old school. Right, I ain't finna tell you twice, especially when I know you heard me the first time.
Yeah, so for me, I use the timeout method, redirecting sort of situation. It actually works well, and I don't have to really discipline him quite often, you know. So it's good. So he decided he wanted to ditch me for his cousin. So
okay.
So I was like, oh, this is what we doing, huh?
Pops
so
ain't no fun.
Yeah.
Pops ain't no fun. That's good.
So, we, you know, days leading up to it, we hung out and stuff like that, and so. Right now, he's hanging out with his cousin, so I told him, look, I need to get you afterwards.
Okay, gotcha.
What about you?
Gotcha.
Did you do anything?
Yesterday, I was, had regular service. Did you guys do anything at church for Father's Day?
Not really, just
regular service. Okay. So yesterday, we had regular church service. I did get a text message from my son wishing me happy Father's Day, which, you know, caught me off guard a little bit. So
you have to look at the phone.
I did. I was appreciative. I ain't going to trip. So I was like, okay, appreciate you, you know. So I got that text message yesterday. And then I spent some time with with Deke over with, okay. With Love over there with Lovey for a while for Father's Day. Took him his got him a nice Father's Day gift.
Nice.
Always exchange good gifts, so it's hard to buy. You know, it's hard to buy people stuff that pretty much have
everything. Yeah.
So you have to be creative versus just exchanging gift cards. Because that's what we end up doing most of the time. Be like, here, man, go to $50 gift card. Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's a $50 gift card.
You so can't go wrong with that one.
But you're just giving each other the same money.
Yeah.
It's like, well, here's your...
It seems like it's creative, but it kind of gets hard. It's like...
So, but what I found was I was in Costco. A couple of weeks ago, almost a month ago, in Costco, and I'm walking through Costco, and Costco had, you know, Lovey, have you ever been to Thingamacurity's house?
Yeah. Okay. I went over there for some computer work.
Some of his computer. Yeah. Okay. So in his backyard, he has a tent up in his backyard and a table and everything like that. So we had set up, because he loves to be outdoors barbecue, and that's his deal, you know. So he has this old radio from Montgomery Wards.
Montgomery Wards?
Heard me. I didn't even say Wards. I put the Montgomery in front of it. You remember at one point, they when they came back for a minute, they was just Wards. His radio says Montgomery Wards. Yeah.
Manufacturer.
It's got you ready for this? It's got a cassette and a 4-inch TV screen all in the radio. Yeah. From Montgomery Wards.
Got a screen in it?
Yeah. You know, it's one of the old school. I had one back in the day, but it was a TV, radio, and cassette player all in one. So anyway, that's what he uses when we outside sitting on the patio.
Okay.
So you know,
you can get the upgrade.
FM, you can get V103 is about best we could get on the FM side. And then on the AM side, the best we could get was not even 1390. I think WBBM 720 or something like that was the news station.
Wow.
Yeah. So I said, you know, I need to figure out. So as I'm walking through Costco, I see these things. They look like lanterns for the back of your, you know, for lights, you know, for your thing. They were outdoor speakers.
Nice.
Bluetooth. So I said, well, let me try. So, you know, yesterday it was like, try it here. So I linked my phone up to it real quick in Costco and was blasting the music. I said, oh, this is nice. So I said, well, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So I went and got them. I don't know if you saw, they were sitting over there in the corner. You probably didn't pay them no attention. They was up here for like the last 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I just brought them up here because I didn't want to be transporting them all over the place. So he loved them.
Wow.
He loved them. So, yeah, so he got them. He called me this morning saying he was at, because I didn't realize. I thought they were Bluetooth and also Bluetooth rechargeable, kind of like headphones are.
Okay.
But they're not. You can plug them in with regular electricity.
Okay.
But then they also take batteries.
Okay.
Each lantern takes 8 AA batteries.
Eight.
So you're talking 16 of them bad boys to run both of them simultaneously. Because when you hook up one, they both link together, so you get stereo sound.
Okay.
So you can hang them. Like if you're in underneath the tent, you just latch it onto the pole. So you got like, man. So we was in the crib jamming last night for a hot minute. So he enjoyed it. He's like, okay. So he went out this morning. I told him to go look for some rechargeable batteries.
Yeah, rechargeable.
But he was at Sam's before I called in. He said he was buying him a 84 pack of AA.
Wow.
He was getting ready.
It's pretty cool too, because if he has a
he got a tablet
like those newer phones.
Well, no,
have the FM radio app, so he can just click on it.
Well, what he's got is to take us even step further. So he has the iPod, but it's one of the early generation iPods.
Okay,
but it doesn't have Bluetooth on it.
Oh wow! So
I'm on Amazon last night, so I go on Amazon and I order him a Bluetooth transmitter.
Okay.
So you just plug it into the bottom of the phone, and then it transmits our Bluetooth. But while we're doing that, I said, wait a minute, Doc, don't you have a tablet? So I forgot when he bought his last computer, Dell, part of the deal was he got a free tablet out of the deal, a little 7-inch, you know, kind of like that one you had, one you was carrying around.
Okay.
Real similar to that. And I said, well, you also have Sirius Radio, right? He was like, well, yeah. I said, don't you have the online version too? He was like, yeah. I said, let's get the tablet, Doc. We go get the tablet. We download the Sirius Radio app. Hit the Bluetooth button on the tablet. Done. I went on Amazon, cancel.
Wow.
So he's good. So we was playing, so he can play it from his tablet. It's good to go, man. So I mean, it was a good time. It was a good time. So, and just real quick, I know I'm probably getting in trouble. If Michael ain't listening, that's probably for the best. Hopefully he's not listening, and I'm glad I ain't on Facebook Live. Sister Priscilla McCurtis made some oxtails on yesterday. Can I talk about it?
Yeah.
Can I talk about it?
Go ahead.
My brother, I want to tell you that the woman Priscilla is just as anointed as the Priscilla and Aquila from the Bible. I just thought I would share that information with you that them there oxtails was anointed.
Wow.
My God. And she made it with the sticky rice. I said, how do you make, because, you know, I don't know how to make, you know, I guess Uncle Ben's, I had to ask her what kind of, I don't think that was Uncle Ben. That's the first problem. Because
Uncle Ben's
don't stick.
I don't think he stick.
It
no.
don't stick.
No,
I think she used some old school Riceland.
Took it back.
In the blue and white box.
A big bag.
Let me tell you, Doc, she put that there. I went to get the rice and I said, oh, this is like the, you know, it's because this is like Chinese food rice. It's sticky rice. She said, well, yeah, you're supposed to have sticky rice. But I said, well, bless God. Man, she brought that little small trough of oxtails to the table, and I must say, I ate and I'll tell you right now, I could have still been eating them. That's how good they were. she cooked and marinated them bad boys in the red wine.
In the red wine.
The red wine.
Sweet red.
Man, it just was. My God. Talking about tender. And, you know, when you're eating oxtails, you can't be like, etiquette goes out the door.
Probably not sweet. Maybe a Merlot.
It's more like a Merlot.
Yeah.
It's a Sandy Man. It's from the winery that we used to go to with out there in Michigan.
Okay.
He gets it from there. But I'm sitting there, man, and I'm you know, the oxtails look like neck bones.
Right.
You know. So, you know, you can use your fork and get that outside meat, you know. That's readily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But all that inside meat that's round up inside the crevice of the bone.
Need both fingers.
You need to just go and put your fork down and just let the Lord have his way. Sit, work with me, Holy Ghost. Just get all in there. My goodness, I was just excited. I said, oh, Lord, I hope I don't mess up. I should have went home and changed clothes. I was trying not to get oxtail juice on my suit, coat, and my stuff. And I
Yeah, because it's out the church, right?
It's right out the church, and I wasn't finna drive all the way home and come back and try. You know what? I plan to, but when I put that Waze app I told you about, I use it for everything now. So it's so I put it on just to see what the traffic was gonna be like, and traffic was like, nah, bro. I'm like, oh, I ain't going.
Ain't no point.
I'm going like this.
Like you go home, you staying probably.
You know
right?
that. You know you already know.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'll be back tomorrow when I'm in the city. You making another visit over there today?
No, ain't nothing left.
Oh.
So let me tell you how truthful I was during this call. So I told her, because I had mentioned it to Michael on Wednesday, that when I got the text from Lovey saying, you know, she was cooking some oxtails for Father's Day.
Okay.
So I told Michael, I said, well, you know, I'll let you know if I get it confirmed. So when I found out for sure, I didn't tell Michael. So Lovey goes, well, Priscilla says, well, I'll send Pastor Henderson some. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, don't send them by me. He ain't going to get
bag
it. I said, I ain't even lie to you. He ain't going to get the heat. No, wasn't going to get them. She made them with some good old string beans on the side, and she made some homemade rolls, and bro was just in there just fat for no reason. My God, bless you. Bless your Sister McCurtis, my goodness, because, I mean, just wonderful. My soul was blessed. I just don't know. I even got excited again. Oh, my God. When is National Oxtail Day? That's the day we need to find out, LaTanya. I know you got with your day for the day. But while you looking, I know you got your information. But when we get to that segment, I need to know, when is National Oxtail Day? That's going to be important.
Wow.
I might take off. It better not be a show day, because I'm going to take off. I'm gonna
be in the backyard.
Man, on somebody's pie with the a casserole full of the oxtails. It's wonderful. She made some for, matter of fact, she made some for Deacon King, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to send her a text telling her how good it was. He said, no, I had to drive over here and tell him. So, you know, when I saw him come in, I got a little nervous. I said, now, she made you some. Don't think you're going to get no more out this pot, though. Need you going back over there where you live at. Don't. Don't be trying to get no extra
no
tail.
Extra.
No,
there
not,
are
now.
No extra.
No, ain't none. None.
So funny.
Yeah, it was good, though. Yeah,
now that I think about it, my mom did grill some steaks for all of the men, the fathers.
The
so
men's.
I got
all the men.
I got to go pick up my steak.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now that you mentioned food.
So did you come to the city at all yesterday, or you stayed out?
Actually, yeah, just for service.
I mean, this. I'm sorry,
but not this far.
Okay,
no,
you just came.
Service.
You just came over to the church. Okay, got you.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. So we want to wish a happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Yes, sir.
And, you know.
So, how was service?
It was good. You know, it was Father's Day service.
Was it a sermon related to?
The scripture that was given was Ephesians 6. 1-4, that whole thing, fathers don't get your wrath, anger your children, something. Yeah, I think that was pretty much preached.
Children,
yeah, that was preached everywhere because I saw Pastor Du, his Father's Day message was Ephesians 6, but he just used verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that might have been that was the go to, I guess.
Wow.
For everybody. What about you?
I didn't preach. I'm on sabbatical.
It's about this. You on what? Sabbatical.
I'm on a sabbatical.
How you just got in the place and on sabbatical? Help me somebody with this one.
Man.
Sabbatical?
One of the Elder Hayes, he ministered for us on yesterday. And, it was fitting.
Okay.
He has been going through a long season of, you know, just kind of, I would say, you know, when people are kind of like in a place where they kind of mope around and, you know, not really. But, you know, I think it was maybe a week or so ago he got his joy back. Man, and when God restores your joy.
Yeah.
You know, you let people get up there and, you know, light the place up with that same light. And so, you know,
he advantage of it. You should. Yeah.
He poured out from his heart. And because I gave him a call, I was like, hey, man, you know, you want to minister for us come Sunday? He was like, absolutely. I got my joy back. And so he was excited, and I wanted the people to really hear from him. And I hadn't heard from him since we've been there. And so, you know, just want to make sure that, you know, everybody feels this sense of being important. You know, you contribute just like anybody else. And I want to create a sort of a different outlook on how we do ministry. You know, it's not a one person deal. It's an everybody deal. You know, and so I may have more responsibility, but guess what? I'm willing to delegate those responsibilities because we're all collectively working towards the same goal. And that is to rebuild God's kingdom here, over at the church. So, it was good, man. He talked about, he went to 2 Kings, I believe it was 6th chapter, where he talked about when Elijah and the servant were out and, you know, they were encamped by the enemy.
Right.
And he prayed for a servant. And he was like, man, just like, you know, the prophet prayed for the servant that he might see that it was more angels than it was enemies. God opened my eyes and helped me to restore my joy. So, you know, he's extremely excited about that. And I'm excited for him. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good
stuff.
I just sat back and was like, oh, well, bless God. Well, bless him. Because maybe I can take another week off. I'm considering.
Really?
I can go for three of them. And,
really?
Actually, as a matter of fact.
Really? Weren't you just off the week before?
Yeah. Is it the 20th? Oh, okay. Maybe I can come back in July.
Really? First Sunday in July, you're going to take one more week and then, really?
I think that would be spectacular.
I
can introduce that new series.
I tell you about the folks over at the NOC. They just taking everybody on vacation.
Some people are definitely taking a vacation. You see in the summertime, you see people, you know, they take their vacations and things like that. And so,
I don't begrudge anybody a vacation.
Man,
I don't.
Take your vacation time.
Man.
Because before then, they were gone. Maybe almost the whole month of May.
Wow.
Elder Hayes and his wife, and they did some traveling. They went to Minnesota. And so, you know, like I told them, I told everybody, especially the older group of people, you know, you guys have put in much work. And so, you know, when the opportunity arises for you to go and relax and enjoy your life, you should do it.
Absolutely.
You know, God calls for that, for us to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Yeah.
Read Ecclesiastics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So real quick, did you happen to watch the finals on last night?
I wish right now.
Uh-huh.
I had a t-shirt.
Uh-huh. You want
or a jersey.
Saying witness. Saying that the Cleveland championship jersey. Is that what you're
talking
about? You got to go over to Dick's Sporting Goods. I think they got them in stock.
As a matter of fact, there's one out by the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it Dick's or is Sports Authority?
Well, your Sports Authority.
One of them is going out of business.
That's Sports Authority. They're going out of business because
yeah.
I told to go back in there and look
for
a bike. That's nationwide.
Wow.
Yeah, because I went to buy a bike and I just, but yeah, man, let me say this. Now, everybody knows I've never been a LeBron James fan. I just have not. I've never been a fan. Yeah, he's got a witness to my right over here. But I'm not, and it's not that I don't think he's a great basketball player. I just, it was like all the different comparisons. You're comparing him to Michael. You're comparing him to this. You're comparing him to that. It's like, okay, let's move beyond that.
Yeah.
However, I remember when LeBron lost to his first Cleveland team, went to the finals, and they got destroyed by San Antonio.
Hmm.
But that team that LeBron had was... Yeah.
Could you say the word garbage?
Thank you. With a hot in front of it. Hot garbage. So I get it. You know, he wasn't supposed to win that. Okay, fine. So then when he made the jump to Miami,
mm-hmm.
he got there, and then he had his worst finals ever against the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm.
And everybody was like, see this? Man. And I jumped on the bandwagon, too. I'm like, okay, y'all can stop with the Jordan comparisons. But I didn't, like, kill the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so now you get fast forward to this year. Last year, they lose to Golden State, but he had no help.
None.
Kyrie got hurt in the end of the first game.
Kevin Love was hurt, too.
Kevin Love was already hurt.
He seemed hurt still.
Well, he was already hurt. Shoulder out, the socket gone. He was done.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had no supporting cast whatsoever. Dellavedova, as good as he was, the truth came out that he wasn't as good as he was.
See my face right there.
Right. So they lost, but they actually came back. Then they tied the series up 2-2 and almost went up and then end up losing after that. So they end up losing in six with no help.
Yeah.
So, everybody talked about this. They said, well, you know, if Kyrie had been healthy, if Kevin Love had been healthy, what would have happened? Well, guess what happened?
Guess what happened?
Everybody was healthy. And I'm going to say this. I need y'all to go in on Steph Curry. Like you did on LeBron. Real talk.
Yeah.
Because Steph Curry, I ain't seen him since the finals. The one-time unanimous MVP. He wasn't even the MVP of the finals last year. That was Andre Iguodala. And then this year, had they won, he would not have been defined MVP of the finals. So...
Draymond Green was hooping.
Though. Man, I want to just go and put this out there. Y'all can push the whole... Steph Curry is the dude.
Yeah. You see how they trying to make him legendary already?
Bruh, you got to win a couple, man. Can you get...
You won one. People, you got one MVP trophy.
You saw the memes coming up. Who would you drop? They had...
I saw that. Mike.
Jordan, Kobe, Mike, and Steph.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, Steph got how many rings? First of all, how many... You can say what you want about LeBron. He been to six finals. It ain't easy getting to the finals. It ain't easy getting to the final. Take it from the super from football aspect. Remember the Buffalo Bills?
Mm-hmm.
Four Super Bowls in a row. Lost all four of them.
But
they made it to four in a
that
row.
Close.
How do you make it to four Super Bowls in a row and lost?
Man, those are the toughest ones too, man. Because you're right
there.
And I was like, man. And, you know, I really wanted Cleveland to win.
I did,
thing
too. I was rooting
because
for them.
They was deserving of it, man. You're talking about 52 years dry bone.
But
nothing.
Not since Jim Brown and a world championship, not even a Super Bowl. That was before Super Bowl. That was a world football championship.
Yep. And you know what's so interesting is that, and this is what I said. I didn't even go on Facebook. I'm still trying to get that situation.
Oh, you still on lot over there? Oh, wow.
So, but I did get a message saying they're going to do some converting of the page and then transfer friends or whatever.
Gotcha.
But so my thing is now to all haters.
Ooh, they deep. And the hate runs deep. It runs
all
deep.
All haters.
Yes.
Now, if you had been watching the game all the way through,
uh-huh.
you see that he's been put among the six. LeBron James.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So has broken records that some of the other greats have not broken. So for you not to call him a great player.
Yeah, he's great.
He's
great.
A bowl of hater raid.
He's great.
So
he's great.
So now let's talk about this because they always say he a crybaby, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James balled yeah. this series.
Yeah, especially games.
And he guaranteed a championship, so y'all don't have nothing to say.
Especially games 5, 6, and 7. That's when you're supposed
to. 240-point game.
Damn.
Then came back with a 30.
But the fact that he led in all statistical categories both teams. Points, rebounds, blocks, and assists.
Did you see when he went up on...
Steph Curry is the point guard, though. Supposed to be leading in assists, but he led in turnovers. Okay. I'm just saying. Everybody want... And then, you know, people want to jump on... Let me get on my conservative brethren who jumped on the Steph Curry bandwagon because, you know, he's a Christian. So, you know, of course, the minute you put that Christian title, you get special recognition from the pastoral and the pastorate and the clergy of the world on the social media. Oh, Steph, what a man of God and a family man and all this stuff. Like LeBron ain't been with his former girlfriend since high school, Savannah. But we don't want to talk about that because he don't wear his faith on, he don't write his scripture on his gym shoe.
Yeah.
First of all, his gym shoe don't look like orthopedic Usher shoes. Come on, Let's talk about it. You seen them shoes. Them are the shoes that they wear in the Usher, for the Ushers and the nurse.
Oh,
when you get you some Ushers and some nurses, I need you to go and invest in some of them, Who is them people? What's the Under Armour? Them Under. That's who make them. And people talking about. And then they want. Well, he turned down Nike because Nike wouldn't let him put scripture on his shoes, which we found out was a lie.
Wow.
We found out that was a lie.
That's what people were saying.
Well, no, that's the rumor that he went with Under Armour, took less money from Under Armour because supposedly Nike wouldn't put the scripture on his shoe.
No. Nike about business and making money.
Bruh.
Forget about it.
They're about
just
to check.
Just ask Jordan.
They're about to check. Get that mess out of here.
Stop it. So
so all of a sudden he became Saint Curry. So you know me. You know me. When they lost game 6, after he got tossed out and he threw that mouthpiece, you know the Saint. Saint Curry. Saint Curry looked more like Saint Peter. Got a little mad. Threw that mouthpiece in the stand. That first of all, that nasty spit-filled mouthpiece, and hit a dude in the front row.
He was standing up. He's like, "What are you?
You throwing your mouthpiece, and then gonna get mad." And then his wife, you know, she went on Twitter. I don't know if you heard
they
about that.
Her, yeah.
She went on Twitter talking about game is rigged.
Immature move.
The game. It's a spur of the moment. I learned this, and I'm learning it more and more every day. I'm still learning, so don't y'all come back and say I didn't figure it out. But Herm Edwards, he's an ESPN analyst, former coach.
Indianapolis.
Kansas City. Kansas City.
Chiefs,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting him and Tony Dungy. Right,
yeah.
They all the same. Yeah, look alike, you know.
He pretty.
Right. But he made this comment about Twitter and social media. He said, here is the deal. You can type it all day long. He said, but don't push send. He said, after you type it, walk away.
Consider it.
And come back and look at it again before you push send. He said, because once you push send, you can't never get it back.
Oh, no.
Because she deleted the tweet, but you know you got your, I like to call them my screenshot people. So, you know, the minute they tweet it and you retweet it, it's out there. It's forever.
Yep.
It's forever. You can't delete it. You can't.
People just passed it and shared.
They done passed it on to a million people, and people went in because, you know, it's like, okay, and she got it from, like, all these other people. And all, I mean, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Curry.
It was just something you probably should have considered.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's wife does not weigh in on the game, if she felt some type of way.
So people, now here's the deal. When you make that comment, people go, so what is this, the 50s? Women can't have an opinion? That's not what he said.
No.
That's not what was said.
She just considered
she recognizes
the backlash that could come along with it.
The bigger picture.
Yeah. 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 If you felt that way, we could have felt that way about some of the other games where the refs,
What was the difference when Golden State was down 3-1 to OKC? And all of a sudden they start and they started making a comeback. Nobody, what was the deal with the referees then?
Mm-hmm.
Refs have been making bad calls since the NBA has been around. Anybody lived through the Jordan era? Remember the Knicks when Jordan was retired, when the Knicks was against the Bulls and they called that bogus foul on Scottie Pippen.
That foul was so bogus, dude.
Like non-existent. So So don't give me these, you know, conspiracy theories or whatever.
Yeah.
Because
it was rigged. It was politics. And I'm like, no.
Because let me help.
Always who?
Explain this to me if it was rigged. So they told Steph Curry jump shot to just break. His shot just went away. What's the dude's name? Klay Thompson. All of a sudden, his shot just went away. Because Draymond's shot didn't go away.
No. Draymond's still. But you know what? Here's what I said when I seen him coming out in the first half.
Uh-huh.
I said, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't create a big enough cushion.
No.
And I said, now those shots that he's making, they're going to be critical. He has to make them in the second half. And he made a couple.
But he made
but
seven.
Towards the end, when it was like 1 or 2 minutes
right.
left, Draymond Green
but,
missed it.
Well, they stopped involving him. Draymond was 7 for 7 behind the 3-point line.
I was like, you know what?
He was on fire, but they stopped giving him the ball.
Now when they threw it to him, he was wide open.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Then they missed so
and
many.
And Curry threw it at the backboard.
He missed the whole rim. His shot looked like mine coming from
that. See, but here's what I knew. Here's what I saw when Cleveland had won that other game.
Uh-huh.
I said, if you play physical with Golden State,
Steph can't take
you get him out of their game. Steph Curry gets frustrated, and shot that he starts shooting, even when he was hitting them, he would look at the ref like,
hey,
I was foul.
I ain't know nothing about the boy Kyrie Irving, but let me tell y'all something.
Man, Kyrie been a beast since he came in
the
league. Man.
I ain't know nothing about the boy Kyrie. I ain't know nothing about the boy Kyrie now. Hey, Kyrie.
He got a serious crossover.
Hey, Kyrie was like, I was having Allen Iverson flashbacks. I'm telling you. I'm talking about that old AI. You know, that AI that made Jordan look a fool. You know that?
Broke them knees at half court.
Oh, my goodness. That boy crossover got the Holy Ghost. Every time he crossed, my God, he was there. Yeah, Kyrie.
Hit him with that rap, though.
Yeah.
Iverson little thing.
And then just pull back and shoot a three with no end. Man, ice water in the veins.
Man. I was
Kyrie.
See, I'm like, now had this been last season, I think Cleveland would have won last year too.
Got him.
Yeah.
They would have got him. They would have got him.
You know. So when I seen it, I said, look, Cleveland is from the East, and if you know any team that comes from the East, they play physical.
Yep.
So, and I think that's something that the refs have to consider too. West. They're running gun teams.
The only teams that play physical basketball really in the West are the ones that made it to the playoffs. Outside, not Golden State, but the Clippers, because Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, physical.
San Antonio,
physical. And
OKC.
The Thunder.
Yeah.
Because that fool they got at point guard.
Westbrook.
straight out of Compton.
I couldn't believe that, man.
Yeah.
And it would have been, a rematch with
seven.
LeBron
because
he was in Miami the last time he played OKC.
Yep.
So
that was going to be good
either
way.
That could have been sweet revenge for them guys.
Well, he got sweet revenge on Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, last year they lost in Cleveland.
Man.
So they got to celebrate on your home floor. Don't be surprised if the two of them make it back again next year.
I wouldn't be surprised. But one of the things I would do
LeBron's
for
Cleveland. Because he's a free agent, effective July 1st.
I think he wants to see it happen again. Now,
Stephen
depending on who, what choices they make with the players.
Stephen A., who broke the story back when he was first going to Miami, done said, don't be surprised if Bron goes back to Miami.
Oh, if he goes back to Miami.
Yeah.
Prove a point. Is okay, D-Wade.
D-Wade's still there.
Is what you call him still there?
Bosch. Well, you know,
Bosch
got a heart, blood something, like clots or something. So they haven't cleared him to play yet.
Okay.
Because he says he wants to play.
Season?
He was out all pretty much. But they got
Well, I gave you what you wanted.
But you saw D-Wade, they only lost to Toronto, and Toronto was the business.
Toronto was decent. Did Atlanta make it this year, too?
Yeah, they got
it. See, Atlanta
that's
has
who
been
Cleveland
making
played
it
in the first round. They swept.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Ready.
Atlanta, sweet.
No,
Atlanta.
I wasn't ready.
Atlanta ain't had a team since Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That is true.
They ain't
Stacey Augment.
They ain't had a team.
Who else?
Dominique,
who else did they have?
I don't remember the rest of it. Well, I remember
some
Stacey.
Dude, Willis. So Stacey Augment.
Yeah. And,
Dominique.
And Willis. Some dude
Willis.
Last name Willis. Yeah.
Those are the only three I guess.
Yeah.
Spud Webb.
And Doc Rivers.
Doc
was on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Doc Rivers. How about Ty Lue? The coach for Cleveland took over early in the season, not even a full season.
Even though they shouldn't have fired dude, but
yeah,
it's okay.
He didn't know how to. He didn't know how. Hey, Ty Lue, the reason they say he won and got because he had no problem walking to the LeBron saying, "Hey, bro, when I say something, I don't need you to interrupt. Mm-hmm. I'm the coach. You see, David Blatt never got that respect because, first of all, he came from Europe or something. Mm-hmm. He never had that NBA respect. Ty Lue got rings with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Ty Lue got a coaching ring, I think, with Boston, with Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So he got that pedigree, and he played. So, mm-hmm. you know, players respect people who've been through the game with them. So.
Like they respect Kerr.
Exactly. Exactly. Although,
even though, let me just say this, and I'll continue to say this. Mark Jackson built – that Golden State
team.
Well,
that was obvious because think about it. Kerr was out the first 50 games of the season. Luke Walton was coaching them while they was undefeated, remember? Matter of fact, I don't think they lost until Kerr came back.
And sometimes, man, when great – here's another thing. When great players gel together, there's not much coaching needed.
You just sit back and
you give them direction.
You help them out when you see their look. Like, that's what Phil do it.
You help them with their strengths and their weaknesses, you know?
That's
other than that, when they gel
– yeah, you just sit back, just enjoy the ride.
They was like, what are we watching here? Were we watching N1s?
That's what it looked like.
We take it to
that,
the streets.
That early Golden
Brooklyn.
State game was them early parts of the season. Them games weren't even fair. It was like you was watching a video game.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. It was.
They was blowing people out too, right?
It was ridiculous. Yeah, they weren't even playing in the fourth quarter. Like none of their starters.
You know, and I said this too. I said
by 30.
I said, look, when Golden State 3-point game is off, they'll lose the game.
Oh no, they
here's
can't.
Why. The only person that was hitting threes was Draymond.
Yep. Yeah,
I think Curry hit four, maybe four or five, but Draymond hit all the rest of the threes. All their other shots that should have been high percentage shots, they were missing them.
Yeah, and they stopped going to the hole.
And LeBron was like, I'm attacking the basket. This is what's going to get us those points.
And LeBron is 6'8", 6'10", 225, 240.
I thought he had broke his wrist when he trailed, though.
I did, too. I was a little worried on
but
that.
But you see, but he slid. That's what helped him. Had he come straight,
done. Anyway, just this one. Once again,
big shout out to Cleveland.
Shout out to the land, as they say. Shout out to the land. Y'all are no longer the laughing stocks.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland was like, they used to call everything in Cleveland the mistake by the lake.
Wow.
That's because the Indians and the Cavaliers, the Browns. Remember how many times the Browns been to the playoffs and fumbled on the 1-yard line at one time, dropped a pass. Wow. Yeah, so Cleveland, y'all have broken the curse. It's done.
Man.
It's amazing. All we got to wait on now. Is these Cubs,
man?
Because I'm
and
telling
the
y'all,
like, looking good. Did they win last night?
I think they did.
Man, they was. They,
I'm gonna tell you right now. Y'all
already them 47-20. They're top of the division.
If they've been at the top since the start, if the Cubs win, make sure you
look out Wrigleyville.
Make sure your prayer life is right, because you know that's been the going joke for 100 years. When the Cubs win, it's the rapture.
Wow.
You gonna hear the trumpets.
The rapture is coming.
So I'm gonna tell y'all right now. If you get to the World Series and the Cubs is like up like 3 games and it's a closeout game for the Cubs, I advise you to be like the thief on the cross and say, hey, when the ninth inning comes, can I be in your kingdom?
Yeah. Can I go with you?
Can I go with you? Because the trumpet might sound when the Cubs hit. Man. Yeah, Wrigleyville gonna get. Yeah, Wrigleyville gonna burn
it's
down.
Looking good too.
It's gonna be the Chicago Fire in Wrigleyville.
Man. Look, they're gonna be like, look, we building a new stadium. Finally, we just ready.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
So yeah. So anyway, man, that was good. I was good. I was glad to be able to catch that game. It was good to see, man.
One of the best games in so many years.
We haven't had a game seven.
Yeah. When was the last game seven? Can't even tell you. Usually, people win one or two.
And then they be blowouts.
Yeah.
You never see this and the thing about it, Golden State. Scored 13 points in the fourth quarter.
That was it?
13.
Wow.
You know what last time they scored 13 points in the fourth quarter? Game 5 in Golden State when they lost again, which was a closeout game.
Right.
Because think about it. They've been on closeout games since game 5.
True.
Couldn't close out.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. So, in the news, politics, real quick. Donald Trump fired his campaign manager, y'all. Because if you did notice, Donald Trump has been losing his endorsements. He's been the Republicans that were Team Trump have all started to fall off because they're saying, bro, you just don't know when to shut up. You are saying just too much for too long. And no,
you can't be trusted.
So here is what the plot is right now. Because the Republicans don't believe he even has a chance to win because he has so his negativity rating is like at 65%. They're saying at the convention, supposedly this is legal, this is the way this works, at the convention, even though he won the votes and he got all these the delegates for the states, still have to come to the convention and then ratify their vote. They could get there and say, like, you're Nebraska. Nebraska can say, the state of Nebraska and our home of this, blah, 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 we cast our 54 delegates to somebody else.
Yeah. I was reading an article. They can turn around
and give it to,
give
any,
it to a third party. Yep.
Anybody in the Republican Party. They can nominate.
Yep.
And literally put him out, which would be absolutely wonderful. I can't wait for the Republic. And you know where the Republican convention is this year?
Where?
In Ohio.
Oh, really? Well, among other news, SBC has decided to cut ties with Trump.
The Southern Baptist Conference?
Yeah.
Oh, were they for with Trump?
I guess there was some sort of tie.
I think that's who he...
Because he was trying to say...
He was trying to... That's how he was trying to get his Christian...
No.
They reneged that Christian God, huh?
It was like, not where we're trying to go and reconciling differences with all, you know, nationalities.
Not having him. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. We don't stand for those things anymore.
Did they get, so what happened? Did they get tired of saying, you know, Trump, his famous things, you know, I love the Africans.
I saw that. I was like, are you serious? Look at that one right there. I love you.
Look at that. You see that? Look, I got an African right here. He pointing at the one speck of darkness in his crown, the one piece of pepper in the salt shaker.
Man, that is.
I love the Africans. The Africans love me. Really?
So ungenuine, dude.
The Africans.
I mean, we just read right through it. Like, who uses such language?
I love the Africans.
The Africans. The blacks.
So Southern Baptist probably said, when you know, we don't want the statement, I love the Southern Baptists. They probably said, no.
Trump.
We good.
No.
Yeah, we gone.
We've just decided to take down the Confederate flag. You think we want any parts of you?
I saw that they did vote during the at the end of you all session that they voted to
James Merritt.
Yeah,
knocked it out the ballpark.
They're done with the
man. But you can tell there were some racist people there. They stood at the microphone to refute.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, got to talk about, you know, there's a lot of history behind that, and you know we when we say we have to take down the Confederate flag, we might as well take down the United States flag and all of this other stuff and all of these people who have been, you know, a part of this, the part of the history as it relates to the Confederate flag. The dude was like, we respect that. We understand that. There were some really great people who really did some good things. But the fact of the matter is what it represents is not who we represent.
Right.
At the end of the day. And
right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Pull up the Christ banner, dude. Get out of here.
That's
go
good.
Sit somewhere down.
That's good.
Somewhere down.
I had to go over there and make an adjustment on that ad.
How that works.
Much better. You don't feel that? Yeah. That's wonderful.
So I was like, man, I remember this guy, man. It's just certain people that I follow. I didn't even know this guy was Southern Baptist. Ed Stenter.
Yeah.
Southern Tom Rainer. Yeah. All of those guys are Southern Baptist.
You know, it's interesting because the whole thing, I remember going to when I first went to Atlanta years ago, not when I was living there, but when I went to visit for those little picnics they used to have back in the day down in Atlanta.
Freaknik.
Well, yeah, that's it, right, the Freaknik.
Okay.
I never paid attention to the whole racism piece. I never paid attention to the rebel flag that was still the mm-hmm. Confederate flag
mm-hmm.
that was, I just didn't see it because that wasn't where my focus was at the time, you know. So it wasn't until living down there for some years that I recognized that it was still, I knew it was Georgia. So I knew they still, you know, it's Georgia. So ain't no secret, you know, Georgia was like, you know, Georgia and Alabama was like the South. That's when you talk about the South. I ain't talking about like Louisiana South.
No.
Georgia and Alabama is the South, you know, that's the home of the Civil
too.
War, Texas, all of that. So
Arkansas too, right?
I think Arkansas was right in the middle too. All of them, yeah. Arkansas, Alabama, they was all right there together.
But I think Alabama
and
what's
Georgia, So you know, you saw this flag and how it represented. I remember for years people talked about how, you know, why is this flag still being allowed to fly over the State House and what it represents, and people, and the argument was, you know, it's part of our history, and that's fine, but it's like that part of history was good for you.
Yeah.
You got another half of the state that the part of this history was not good for.
Very offensive.
You know, and so it's like, you know, when they finally decided to take it down from the federal, from the state building in Georgia, because I think Alabama, they either they're still fighting it or somebody else. And there was another couple of places that were still fighting, taking this flag down. It's like, y'all don't get it. This is not your state flag. This is a flag of the former Confederacy. And, bro, that's over with.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If you want to, what do they call it? When you separate from when you
church and state.
When you want to separate your state from the Union, you want to break away. I forget what the word is, because Sarah Palin used it for Alaska. She said they were going to break away
and be independent.
It's something, yeah, like a becoming independent. I forget what the word is, but yeah, I'm like, now if you're going to go and do that, you go right ahead.
Right.
You go right ahead. But I'm like,
that's,
yeah,
that's funny that they would. It carries such dark memories.
It
you know?
Does. It and does.
So here's how you know it's crazy, because you people are the same group that will turn around and say, well, you know, we have to be accepted.
Secession. That's what it's called. Secession.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And
yeah,
not offend people. Mm-hmm. We don't want to offend transgenders. We don't want to offend people from that community, remember?
Yeah.
So now everything has a softer tone to it, but when it comes to that particular issue,
and they don't care nothing about being offended, because it's offending us.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. You see where we're going with this thing?
It's offending us, and we can't
so
be offended.
Is the language.
Well, that's the same thing with, you know, they're still fighting in courts now because they're trying to get the Washington Redskins to change the name of their team.
Really?
Yeah. Because the Native Americans who were on, they've all decided to say, you know what, this is offensive.
Yeah.
And
that is a picture of an Indian.
And, well, the term redskin is offensive, is it? Yeah, it's offensive. So they're fighting in courts right now. Daniel Snyder say he ain't budging. He's been a Redskin fan all his life, and he ain't budging. Now, certain commentators on the sports shows won't say Washington Redskins. They'll say Washington first down. Like any other team, you see Cowboys, first down.
Right, last name.
Steelers, first down. Washington, first down. Yeah, they're getting away from it. And the thing is, and you know, for us, you're thinking, because at first I'm thinking, like, what's the big deal? But I'm like, well, hey, if you are Native American and you find it offensive, then it's offensive. You know, I mean.
I wonder if they find Thanksgiving offensive.
Oh, you mean when they
after
they ate dinner and
the
then got
pilgrimage. Let me look at my phone real quick.
After they ate that good dinner and then got slaughtered after.
Mugged. Hoodwinked.
Most of them got killed off because Columbus's people had some disease when they got here and spread their crap around. I forget what it was called. It wasn't polio. It was something they had. And yeah, I remember that from history way back when.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people who discovered or rediscovered something that was already there.
Who got lost.
With habitation.
Who got lost.
Oh.
And found it. That's what they did.
Haphazard.
They found it. They didn't discover it.
We discovered America. Yeah. We discovered that there were other people there.
And we got guns and they got bows and arrows. Yeah. Yeah. Craziness. Straight
Man,
crazy.
I forgot it was something else I was saying, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. What else we got cranking in the news?
Anyway, we got we also got, you know, Father's Day weekend.
Oh.
13 dead.
Just in the weekend.
Father's Day weekend. 13 dead, 42 wounded in weekend gun violence.
Oh, no. I just have to scratch my head. So from Friday.
Shooting since Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon to Sunday evening.
Yeah.
42 people
shot.
Were somehow wounded.
With a gun.
And wait, those are 42
shot.
Gunshot wounds.
Right. 13 dead. Yeah.
That will never be normal to me.
And unfortunately, it is.
I will never be immune to statistics like that.
That's,
you know, and that's the grid.
Yeah.
That's where all the, your dark reds are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're showing?
This is, what is this? Oh, yeah, it kind of gives you a whole, yeah, it gives you an access of what's what in the darker spots. And if you click on, not this one, but there's another one, you click and it'll give you, yeah, the hot spots. And you'll see it's still Austin and Inglewood. It's Austin, Inglewood, and then West Garfield.
Wow. Yeah. So there's much work to be done, Saints, and we can't allow the enemy to continue to run rampant. You know, we have to use what God has given us, and that's the power of influence. That's the power of witness. That's the power of love.
Yeah,
you know,
and you have to show it, and you have to be out there and show it. You have to be out there and show it. It's interesting, and I said this on Friday before you got here when I was on my rant that I'm still hearing about.
Uh-oh.
is that, you know, people won't – you can't take the message from the pulpit that you get your amens from on Sunday to the street corner. That's – it's not going to flow. They're not going to hear you because, see, you guaranteed – I don't care how bad your sermon is on Sunday. Somebody in your church gonna say amen. You gonna get one. It's just you and the larger your church, the more amens you gonna get. Mm. On the street, when you just have to have a conversation with me, see, when you start saying these different things, and because I'm not churched, because I am unchurched, you start saying these things to me, I am going to ask you some follow-up questions. See, Sunday morning there are no follow-up questions. Even Wednesday night Bible study, all the questions are always biblically based.
Right.
On the street corner, I'm going to ask you some questions. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to come down off of your degree. You're going to have to come down, lay your robe down, unloosen your tie, take off your cufflinks, and have a conversation.
Yeah. One that does not include you talking over,
come on,
over my head, but
come
talking
on
to my situation.
Come
and
on.
So, you have to find a way in all of that conversation. Now, because we're still doing your gift book.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this part was interesting because chapter 6 talked about evangelism and the relationship to evangelism. And so we talked about these two extremes that exist. One is confrontational evangelism.
Okay. Okay.
You know, another one is lifestyle evangelism. So the difference is there becomes a divide. Your confrontational discipleship is more of, here's the pamphlet, get your life saved, blah, blah, blah. You know, the other side is we just live it, we don't speak it. We sow the seed because we live it.
And watch me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got people who have the gift of evangelism, and then you have those who are called to witness and to share the gospel message. And he talked about there needs to be a balance. And so what he did was he took away the sort of how we say, y'all doing that, y'all too extreme, or y'all not doing enough. And the balance becomes we're still both accountable.
I absolutely love that. I was listening to a Father's Day message yesterday morning. I'm trying to see I was on some child flipping channels while I was getting ready for church. And the pastor, I want to say it was, what's the guy? I can't think of the guy's name, but it was on the Word Network, whatever it was, yesterday morning. And he made this comment about Father's Day. He said, my father knew the Lord, but he was not a preacher. He said, what I learned of God from my father was the example that he set. So he said he evangelized to me, or he discipled me based on how he lived his life. He said, I learned how to treat women because I saw how he treated my mother. I saw how he treated his sisters. I saw how he treated his mother. I saw how he loved on his brothers and his family. And I saw how he cared for people in the neighborhood. So for me, that was my example of what love was. I didn't know what the Bible was, he said. He says, I heard about it, but I didn't know. But he said, once I started reading the Bible, I saw the correlation of the two. So he says it's different versus he said, now, my daddy could have said, take this Bible and act like Jesus, which is what some of our phony evangelists do. You know, just read the book and then do what Jesus did with no examples, no instruction, no video. It's all the instruction you need is in this Bible. Right.
True. So now unpack it for us.
Thank you.
Unpack.
Thank you. Give me step one.
Yeah.
Give me step one. Because, see, step one might not be in Genesis. You know what I'm saying? Step one might not be. You might need to take me all the way to Matthew, Doc.
Man. Yeah. And that Now you're talking in terms of being intentional.
Right.
You know,
I mean, because
thinking of a person that's unchurched, where they need to begin if they
exactly.
join the church. Thinking of somebody who is a new believer.
Yeah.
Where do they begin and what do you have in place
yeah.
to help them on a journey? Because it is a journey. It's a process. Some people might, you know, revert back.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
how many of us are willing to be patient
yeah.
even in that process to maintain a relationship? To whatever degree they would allow us. That's different.
It's true.
I won't push anything on you, especially not pushing you to come to church, because I believe that I can disciple you outside of the church until you get here.
Come on now. That's good stuff. And that's going to get us right into the article. We're going to take a real hot break for a second. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. How to tell if your church is actually producing disciples. We'll be right back, y'all. TT.
We
hello.
Hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
That good old TTLO after dog. Y'all was listening to the harmonious tones of the good pastor, Devon Winder from the NOC Church. TTLO after dog.
Man.
Was you in some kind of mood when you recorded that, bro? Was you sipping on a...
That's my voiceover.
Was you sipping on a nice red when you was recording that? What's your red wine of preference? Is it a
sweet red?
Is it a Pinot Noir, or do you like the merlot with the other one?
I go for sweet red.
Oh, sweet.
Just sweet red.
What is sweet red, Devon? What the hell is sweet red?
Because you got your Merlot, which
uh-huh.
is sort of,
mm-hmm.
but then everything else, then you got your sweet red wines
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, more fruity in taste.
Okay.
Not as harsh
okay.
tasting. So it's more
okay.
of a fruity. So like stuff like your Roscato, and some of the other things like your Vila, you know, just to name a few. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you ever get in the you know, and normally, like I said, they're reds. They're not your whites or anything
right.
like
right.
that. So because very few of your whites are sweet, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. That's good. But yeah, that was good. I just like playing.
Yeah, I was in voiceover character. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we hope you're enjoying the show.
Hope that you're enjoying the show.
Exactly.
You flowed
right into it. Before we get into the article, I forgot about this. We did not do our food of the day. Presentation just
okay.
yet, so I'm gonna wait for our producer to get herself in the room and be ready, and so she can give us our food of the day. When I see her get in there, then I'll go and get you in. We gonna get on that because I need to know what the food. Because you supposed to, I gave you a task. I wanted to know the food of the day, but then I also want to know when it's National Oxtail Day. This is important. This is life and death type situation.
Life.
It is life and death situation. Okay, so she's ready. She's ready. Sister Latanya.
Good afternoon.
Right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pastor Winder, Minister King.
Are we on speaker or something? Can you get closer to the microphone and
I'm back. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Could you help us out? What is the food of the day?
Oh, well, to answer your question, there is no Oxtail Day, so you can take that
what?
Off your calendar.
Okay, well,
and
food of the day is canceled after this. Go ahead.
And today's food of the day, shout out to Khalees for this nice song that she wrote called Milkshake. Today is National Vanilla Milkshake Day.
Mm, National Vanilla Milkshake Day. It's not just
what
milkshake.
Happens to
day? It's just
uh-uh,
national.
It's vanilla. Today is just vanilla.
Don't nobody want that.
That's why I bring y'all none. So
don't
me on mute.
That. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank
don't nobody
you,
want no
you.
Vanilla milkshake. What in the heck?
You don't like vanilla?
No.
I would go for a
vanilla. You know how plain
I would take some flavor, though.
Strawberry.
But I would do vanilla.
Ain't
but
nothing like a strawberry shake.
Yeah, that one's like...
Man, that's like...
Down, always
that's
top dog.
Man.
The strawberry.
With the bits of strawberry broke off
like
up in
it.
There. That's... Woo! Mahesh salahahoki. I almost went. Vanilla. Did she say vanilla? I'm done.
Wow.
I'm done. I don't want no parts of that. I don't even like vanilla ice cream.
No?
No. Man, give me some Häagen.
Homemade.
Give me some
what about Häagen the vanilla bean ice cream?
No. The Breyers? No. The Häagen-Dazs? None of that. No. Give me some strong.
So you need some
beer. I need some fruit in my ice cream. Don't nobody want no plain old vanilla. You know, like vanilla ice cream, that's like.
Basic.
That's like eating a burger with like no seasoning. That's like, can you just get a nice, imagine a nice hamburger patty and you ain't got no salt, no pepper, just plain. That's what vanilla is. Just good old plain, regular. I ain't want no regular milkshake.
You can get a cheeseburger plain.
Right. No, y'all can keep that.
Plain. Because your lettuce ain't going to be right. Your tomato ain't going to be
right.
Right.
She's talking about vanilla. I'm glad I'm, man. Yeah,
that's only if nothing else is if they've ran out of fruit.
No.
Choices.
No.
I would do a vanilla because I like vanilla bean ice cream and French vanilla, actually.
No.
You don't like French vanilla?
My mom likes French vanilla ice cream.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that Breyers French vanilla, she likes that. Now I did try one time to make me a strawberry milkshake using vanilla ice cream and strawberry pieces.
How did that work?
Didn't work out.
You didn't use enough.
Stomach was on 85. Did not work out.
It was supposed to be lactose free.
That didn't work out. Let's move on. How to tell if your church is actually producing disciples. This is by Kerry Niewolf. This should be good. He says, knowledge is not spiritual maturity. Knowledge makes you arrogant. Love transforms you. He says, one of the frequent criticisms I hear of churches that are trying to reach people who don't attend church is they fail to produce disciples. He says, honestly, this is a criticism that off and on has been levied at our ministry for years, and it bothers me. He says, I know it's a criticism that has followed many of you as well. So how do you engage it? Better yet, how do you respond to it? For a while, I wasn't sure how to answer back. Over the years, we've worked hard on our discipleship process, engaging people in groups, serving, giving, and inviting non-Christians to explore Christianity. It's not perfect, but it's getting better all the time. And yet, any process begs the question, how do you know if you're producing spiritually mature disciples or not? How do you measure? Finally, a few years ago, I stumbled on a test that for me at least answers the questions as well as I've heard it answered. I'm hoping it clarifies some things for you and your team as well. First, some false tests. I like this dude. He says, I've written about how the church today is getting discipleship wrong in this post and again in another post. He says, if you listen to many in the church these days, you'd think knowledge equals maturity. The more you know, the more mature you are. Scripture suggests that that's a false test. After all, as Paul points out, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Knowledge makes you arrogant. Love transforms you. So this sheds some light on the greatest puzzles of the church today. Why is it that the Christians who claim to be the most spiritually mature are often the most smug, the most arrogant, the most judgmental, the most bitter, the most divisive, and even the most angry? Oh, my God. When did an arrogant and judgmental heart become evidence of Christian maturity? It's not. And it never was. He says, in fact, as I argue here, many things Christians think are signs of spiritual maturity actually aren't. Man, let's talk about it. Smug, arrogant, divisive. That's crazy.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Bitter.
It's even though the knowledge is there, it's still there. Even you see it in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
You see the situation that takes place. Where he says, let me show you a more excellent way. And so when we look at that, it's great. Great example. A great example is even Paul himself.
Because anytime you sing about Jesus, how many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name. I want you to listen to it. Let's let the Lord bless us in this song. Thank you.
crossover.
Yeah.
Missed the crossover.
I'm good. We apologize for that. We apologize for that. I know some of you guys got kicked off. We had the only way we can fix this when this error happens is everybody gets released from the show and they have to reset the show on their end.
Oh, so they
and
kick
it kicks
off
everybody
phone?
Off the phone.
Wow.
It kicks them off the website. It kicks them off of everything. And they need to
Block Talk, you gotta do something about that.
They need to work on this.
Come on, man.
They really do.
You lose listeners like that.
And some people won't come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cool. It's not cool at all. So it's something they definitely need to work on.
Get your life blocked. Get your life.
Yeah, something. Anyway. So, but yeah, but just making disciples. We gonna finish it up. Yeah, I ain't gonna even trip.
So basically what we were just talking about was the part that you just read.
Right.
Where it talked about being smug.
Yeah, smug,
you know,
judgmental, right.
Bitter, judgmental.
And divisive. That's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you think because you know everything, nobody else's opinions matter. And then people, when they feel that way, then people won't bring anything to the table because they feel like the minute they do, you're going to knock it down anyway.
Set it down, yeah, yeah.
So what's the point of me sharing my ideas with you if every time I bring something up, you're going to shut it down?
Mm.
So
yeah, I think the big ones for me is the judgmental and being divisive.
Yeah,
you know, causing dissension.
Yeah,
you know, that's actually a part of one of the seven things that God hates.
Come on now, come on.
To sow discord among the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
God said He hates when things like that take place. Mm-hmm. So we really have to be careful with information that we're sharing about somebody else and make sure that our motive is correct in sharing that information. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, something's happening with our brother. You know, can we pray for him or go see about him? That's different from, you know, such and such back on drugs.
Right.
Such and such back drinking on that bottle.
Yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. So, you know, it's unfortunate. And again, we apologize for losing some of you guys with the show. When the show locks out like that, they have to reset it. And what happens is it kicks you guys off. So, again, we apologize for that, you know, when it happens. So, yeah. So, anyway, let's keep it going. So the writer continues. He says, a much better way to tell if you're making disciples is, so how do you know whether your discipleship strategy is effective, whether it's producing followers of Jesus who are maturing? Enter Jesus. He summed up the proof of discipleship as succinctly.
Just when you thought it was all over, ABK and Reverend right back at you, baby. From the shower with a new flavor. Can you feel me? Woo! Come on, everybody, get your hands up. Come on, everybody, get your hands up.
Days. We are back once again. Sorry about that. It's kind of out of our hands. I'm not sure, you know, what's really going on. But we back. Sorry about that. Those of you on Ustream, you didn't lose anything, you missed anything, but we didn't want to keep going with the conversation. We're going to get through this as much as we can, hopefully without any more interruptions. So let me keep going. He says, I was reading through this passage again a few years ago when I finally realized Jesus gave us the test that defines discipleship exceptionally well. He simply said, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Hmm. Be fruit inspectors. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In other words, look at someone's life for the evidence. What evidence? Evidence that the Holy Spirit is transforming someone, or as the ancients used to say, evidence that someone is being sanctified. He says, that sounds great, but what does it look like? Back to Paul. He actually defines what it looks like to be transformed by the Holy Ghost in Galatians 5. Hmm. He begins by listing the fruit of the people who are not being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Hmm. Paul says, people who are not under the direction of the Holy Spirit have lives characterized by, among other things, hatred, mm-hmm. discord, sexual immorality, jealousy, impurity and debauchery, fits of rage, dissension, factions, envy, conceit. Mm. I could just poke out a whole bunch of these.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy, fits of rage, dissension, factions, conceit. And envy, my God. He says, so look at the people who are following Christ in your church and ask yourself, is this what their lives look like? Factions. Y'all know what factions is, another word for cliques. Let me put that out there for you. If so, you have some work to do on your discipleship strategy, because it's not producing what the Holy Spirit, does in people's lives. Okay? All right. Let's keep going. The writer says, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of someone, he produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's the test again. Look at people who follow Jesus in your church and ask, is this what characterizes their lives more than it did a few years ago? If the answer is yes, you have an effective discipleship strategy. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if the answer is no, you have some work to do. You can't set perfection as your standard, because we live on this side of heaven. Will everyone who claims to be following Jesus be there? No. Will everyone stick around? No. You'll lose a few. If you have no back door, you're either running a cult where no one is allowed to leave, or you're really not growing. But people should be more like Christ than they were. Let's just stop right there for a minute. So there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Does your discipleship, do you see those signs that he talked about? Do you see signs of love and joy and peace and patience? Or have people ran out of patience in your church? Has kindness gone out the window?
Yeah.
Do you see people walking around unhappy? Do you see nobody feeling good? Do you see nobody having any self-control?
It begs the question.
And it really does.
Yeah, to measure what it is that you have in place, based on God's process, you know, or God's view
mm-hmm.
of what maturity and production is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you measure it up against, when you take that list and you measure it with the life and the attitude
mm-hmm.
of the people,
mm-hmm.
It gives you a really fair assessment to say, hey, you know, are you those things? How is God producing these things in you? What areas in these categories does God need to work on you with?
Mm-hmm.
Self-control, gentleness, mm-hmm. faithfulness, goodness. I mean, where are you? This is great. This is actually a great grid to use as step points, even for a next step sort mm-hmm. of direction in spiritual maturity through the discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it is the Holy Spirit that does the work, but the Holy Spirit can't do the work if we won't allow him to.
Okay.
I think that's the most important thing, because Paul talks about quenching the Spirit of God. And so it's like, you know, taking a water hose, you know, the water's flowing through it, but the moment you take it and you basically choke or cut off
mm-hmm.
the flow point of it, you know, nothing else flows through that water hose.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about our life, and and life only flows through the Spirit of God,
yeah,
through us.
Yeah.
Once we say, you know what, you know, God, I don't feel like being led or moved
mm-hmm.
by you. You know, I just kind of want to stay where I am. And at that moment, you've resisted God's ability to work through you and produce something. And these are all the things that God is constantly
mm-hmm.
trying to produce
mm-hmm.
in and out of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. If y'all hearing that dinging in the background, that's the people from the Blog Talk radio station contact talking to me on air. So I can't turn off the chiming sound. I don't know why they don't have that option available on this particular thing, because it is annoying. But we're trying to work on this at the same time we do the show. The writer continues. He says their character and their heart are being reshaped by the Holy Spirit. That's effective discipleship.
Yes, sir.
As the ancients knew, sanctification, the process of being made holy, is a lifelong process. God isn't done shaping you until you're dead, and even then, he has plans for you. Wow. He continues, he says, bringing this home. The more I thought about Jesus' teaching, by their fruit you'll know them, and Paul's definition of fruit, the more I realized that maybe despite the critics' claim, we actually have an effective discipleship strategy. Why could I say this? He says, I looked at the people we baptized 3 to 5 years ago and asked where they are now and what they're like now. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
First, most of them are still around. They're still following Jesus. And when I see them and I see where they're at in their lives, they actually are more loving.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Sing it again.
Guess what?
We back.
Yeah, for now. Woo, boy. Y'all pray for me, boy, because there was some words coming out of my brain cells that I just refused to let cross my lips. Y'all just pray for me. Pray for me. Yeah. This is insane. This is beyond insane. But we gonna, guess what? God is still good. We gonna keep it going. Where were we? We were here. Thank you. We were here. He says, they also display less immorality, less envy, less divisiveness, better control of their temper, and greater humility. So what he did was he did some research on the people he baptized 3 or 4 years ago just to see where they were in their Christian walk. And what he found was they are different people than what they were originally. Now watch this. How would he know they were different? Meaning he had to be involved in their lives from the beginning. He was involved with their lives from the beginning, not just when they decided to walk down the aisle.
Follow their journey.
Exactly.
To follow their journey.
Exactly. Either it was him, or it was somebody part of his team that followed along with the process, and they followed to see if people were actually growing. Because if you see that they're not, then you need to be more involved. And that's what he was doing. So I love that about this. He says, guess what? The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit at work, that they're being discipled, that they're becoming mature. he goes further. He says, the irony I see, he says, and I have to be careful how I say this, is that often the people who slam churches for not producing disciples are the people who display the fewest fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
In fact, their accusations are often characterized by anger, hostility, pride, and sometimes jealousy. Their criticism often targets growing churches. At a minimum, you don't get the sense that their question is motivated by love. You see the incongruity, right? The people who claim to be the most spiritually mature fail the biblical definition of maturity. And the people who don't claim to be spiritually mature often pass it. Wow.
Mm.
And so for so many times, you and I talked about this, for so many times, we wrongly used to equate spiritual maturity with how long you've been in church.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we used to, I've been in church all my life. Okay, and...
Look at the fruit. We have to look at the fruit. Yeah, can people say that, yeah, we've been knowing you for 40 years,
yeah,
and you're that same person?
Yeah.
That you were when you first gave your life to Christ.
Right, right.
That's not a transformed mind.
It's
or
really
heart,
not.
You know?
It's really
and
not.
And I love the other part where he talks about this transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in people's hearts. So it has nothing to do with the head knowledge. The head knowledge is just designed to penetrate the heart for transformation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so because out of this information, it makes me conscious of who I am, what I am doing, and what I can do. What capabilities I have now, that information shapes my heart and molds it in a certain way. For some, it's resistance. For others, it becomes a level of acceptance. And so, you know, what we do accept in our hearts, those are the things we're more likely to help bring about change for us. And so that's why it's not just head knowledge, because you can quote, as you know, there are people who know the Bible front and back, but they won't step foot in the church. They have all, you know, these accusations, as he talked about, you know, you have these issues and these hangups. And so, but you know, the word well, I mean, in fact, the Bible declares that, you know, even the fallen angels know the word of God,
but yeah, they do.
But yet, and still they hadn't obeyed him. And so it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. And so, you know, and that's where we have to get to in our Christian walk, is that I think that the more we learn and the more we become receptive to seeing just not our box, but outside of that box and looking at everybody else's box, you begin to grow, you begin to absorb, you begin to look at even how you may have been judgmental in areas.
Right.
And so people gave you a different look and perspective at something. You say, wow, man, maybe I was a little too harsh and I didn't consider these other factors. And so, you know, even if you look at, even with our show, if you look at our show from when we first started to where we are now, you can see that, you know, this show is shaping and it's growing into something absolutely awesome.
Man.
You know, and that's where we have to look at our Christian walk.
Yeah.
And guess what? This show does not go to the next level unless we intentionally plan to go there.
Yeah.
And not just plan to go there. We have to do the necessary things that will put us in the position to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing with your Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you devote yourself, I'm not talking to about reading no scripture, unless you devote your heart to being God's heart. That's your first step. And then out of that, God begins to speak to your heart concerning scriptures, to read the word, to become more in tune with, to get to know him. When you read your Bible, you shouldn't look at it as a weapon that you can use on other people.
Come on now.
Here's what you need to do when you read in the Bible. You're getting to know God for all who he is, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the starting point. I'm developing this growing relationship like you would with a natural human being. The more you talk, the more you stay in constant communication. Guess what you do? You grow with that person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep it going. He says, what do you think? He says, it's just something to think about the next time someone claims yet again that your church fails to produce disciples. And it's a great way to evaluate your own ministry. Just look for the fruit. You'll see it one way or the other. Your ministry is producing something in people's lives. Wise leaders know what it is.
Wow.
What are you learning about discipleship in your ministry? That's good. And I like what he said. Wise leaders.
Yeah.
Because the wise leaders are always asking questions. wise leaders are always in the know about what's about the relevant things in their church, not the irrelevant ones, the relevant ones, and the relevant ones meaning the people and what's going on in their lives.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like what Elder Hayes said. He says they're not just asking questions, but they're asking the right questions.
The right questions.
You know, asking the right questions. And it's amazing that even your naysayers, let's say you're a leader and people are coming against you. One of the great illustrations that we learn from Jesus is that when they confronted him with questions, he was able to answer them. But oftentimes he confronted them with answers, which were the right answers pertaining to kingdom stuff, and they could not give an answer for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always called them up in their tracks. He who is without a, you know, sin, cast the first stone. Let me remind you, before you stone her, you may have been in that whorehouse too yourself. How did you know it was there?
Watch out, Doc.
How did you know that was going on?
How you know that's where she was?
Yeah.
Doc. How you know that's where she was? Huh? You was there, huh? How you know?
Yeah. Or judging when he goes and he's invited, you know, to one of the tax collector's house, and he's judged for just being there, for just hanging out. But my question becomes to you, as he asked those people, he said, look, you know, I came not to those who were healthy, but to those who were sick. And my question to you, since you healthy, how come you not going to the sick?
Ah, come on now.
This is all that he's trying to get the so-called Pharisees who knew God well. And that's why he talked about being judgmental.
Yeah.
Scribes and Pharisees were extremely judgmental, but they chose not to help people. They would rather tear them down.
And watch this. They chose not to help. But then, it's, you know, because of some stuff that I've been experiencing lately with people, and I noticed this, is we could say they chose not to help. You're absolutely right. They did. It was a choice. Did they even know how? Did they even know how? They had knowledge, but not wisdom. Because, see, wisdom is knowing how to apply the knowledge.
The knowledge, yeah.
They didn't have any wisdom.
Yeah.
So they had all the right material. They had the book. They had the scrolls. They had the scriptures. They had the scripts. They was good. But they did not know how to apply it.
Yeah.
Where it could help grow somebody else. So all they did was kept it to themselves and then created their own word and say, well, as long as we do this, we good.
Yeah. And it was all head knowledge.
Yeah, that's it.
And so, you know, it was head knowledge.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, there was no real pursuit to have an authentic relationship with God, because they thought that to have a relationship with God was to just do a list of tasks. And that is far from the truth. In a real relationship with God, it's not about the task. It's about appreciation. It's about love for the relationship. It's about growing in that relationship. And it's ultimately what has been purposed for the relationship. If we talk more about that. So when I get into it's a man and a woman getting into a relationship, what is our ultimate purpose in our relationship? It should be marriage, right? So that's our ultimate goal. And when we get to marriage, we haven't arrived, because even at marriage, we're still growing in marriage. So when God says, when you come back to me, into relationship with me, guess what? That's because I have already set up a place for you that's called heaven. But you're not in heaven yet. So while you're on your way to heaven, grow with me, and I'll grow through you. Grow in you and grow through you. And so, you know, that's really the part that the Pharisees missed. Like, you had the knowledge of God, but you were still blinded. You know everything there is to know about God, but because the understanding and the wisdom is not there, you are still spiritually blind. Is that's what Christ said that they were. You're spiritually blind. And a lot of times, how do we get spiritually blind? We go back to those points where he talked about what those negative fruits that surface, what they look like. Those things blind us if we don't know it or not. Those things blind us from the reality of a real truth and what we should be producing. If I always walk in negativity, how could I ever produce positivity, you know, in the lives of other people? How could I ever speak positive when I always speak negative? That means I would always affect people negatively. And that is the total opposite of the type of fruit that God purposed for you to produce. So that's really something to think about, that, man. Pay attention to people's lives. Be intentional. Do all you can to help them grow in the grace. I love that scripture, in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything else is pretty much left up to them. If you lay it out,
yeah.
You know, you do all that you can as a shepherd.
Yes.
You know, if they choose not to, some people will be prodigals.
Come on.
And guess what? God gonna wait for you to wake up and see God for yourself.
That's good.
You know,
that's
so
real good. I love it. I love it. Man, look, this has been good. We got through the show. We get interrupted 500,000 times, but we made. But we made it through the show. We appreciate y'all coming back on. I see y'all, majority of y'all did come back on, listen on the phone lines. And those of you
awesome.
Who were able to come back and listen via the web, if you did, we appreciate y'all as well. But it's been a good show, man. It's been a good show. Mm. So, you know, hey, what you got anything coming on the rest of the week? Because I won't see you because you won't be here Wednesday.
Right.
And I won't be here Friday. So, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. You got anything going on?
Nothing that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah, I should definitely be in the studio on Friday.
Sounds like a plan. Man, I'm looking forward to it. So look, we got the big stuff. Hopefully we have Pastor Henderson in here on Wednesday. Maybe have another guest too as well. So you never know. You never know here. You never know.
Never know.
You never know. So man, it's been a good show. You want to pray us out, Doc?
Sure.
Appreciate you.
Lord, we thank you for just the writer who was taking the time out to help leaders grow in some areas that are very helpful and needful to see that some of the errors of our own ways and to really examine whether or not there is a discipleship process even happening in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for bringing light to areas where we need to see the light. Now, Lord, we're just asking that as leaders, as mentors, as ministers, as people of God, Lord, we're asking that we would personally sign up to be discipled by you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Lord, we pray that we are able to disciple others just as we are being discipled. So, Lord, we thank you for our listeners. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and keep them. And that we hope that even through this show, Lord, that you're discipling some people.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the visionary of this ministry. We pray and we bless your name for all that you will do in and through this ministry.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, y'all, it's been good. Hey, look, it's hot outside today. It's hot. So y'all be careful. Drink you some water. Get you plenty of liquids. And if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel.
Wow.
Y'all
truly.
Y'all be blessed, man. We out of here. Peace.
My soul, love.